Good morning. It's 10th of March. Our New Testament reading today is Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read to you from Brother Melva Purkis, A Life of Jesus. This section runs into Luke chapter 2 as well. I read, Joseph and Mary were nearing the end of their long journey to Bethlehem. It seemed to Mary more than a few short months since the angel Gabriel had come to her with his breathtaking message. She still could scarcely believe that the fullness of time had come and God was about to fulfil the promise he had made through the prophets to send the Messiah to redeem Israel and bring salvation to the ends of the earth. As the time drew nearer, she had felt again and again a surge of wonder that she should have found favour with God, that she was destined to be the virgin through whom God's purpose was to be revealed. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, she had said, as she had looked into the face of her heavenly visitor, be it unto me according to thy word. Gabriel had departed, leaving her alone with tumultuous thoughts. The life of Nazareth had gone on as usual. Nothing seemed to have happened to disturb its normal course. Yet Mary knew that nothing would ever be the same again. For the first time, she had understood the literal significance of the message of the Lord to Ahaz nearly 800 years before. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. With the growing realization of the honor and responsibility had come an intense desire to place herself unreservedly in the hand of God, to live in his presence in a state of constant prayer. It had also awakened a natural desire to confide in some understanding heart. But to whom could she go? She had been far too wise to share her dread and glorious secret with any ordinary acquaintance. A sweet modesty and apprehension had sealed her lips when she met Joseph. There was only one to whom she could go. Elizabeth, her elderly cousin, was intimately associated with the angel's message. She was rejoicing in the prospect of bearing a promised son long after she had given up all hope of motherhood. So Mary had departed hastily to the hill country of Judea, and there, in affectionate companionship, preparations had been made for the birth of the messenger and the saviour. The atmosphere of love and reverence in which these months had been passed can be sensed from the salutation of Elizabeth and the responsive cry of Mary. They had been months of joy and exultation, and the spirit of both women was a perfect preparation for the lives that were about to be manifested. Mary had returned to Nazareth before John was born. She was no longer the simple, carefree Israelitish maiden. The events of the past months had brought her to womanhood. The long hours of exalted communion had strengthened her for the trials and bitterness that lay before her. Indeed, a severe trial had awaited her at Nazareth, for her condition could no longer be concealed. The innuendos, the whisperings and the subtle persecutions of her neighbours could be endured. But with what horror she had watched the doubt and pain clearly discerned on Joseph's honest face. Torn between a sense of honour which could not contemplate further association and a love which would not expose her to public disgrace, he had finally decided to put her from him privately. When the solution had come from the only possible source. His troubled sleep had been invaded by a heavenly visitor. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. The divine message would do more than restore harmony and love. It would call forth a profound reverence from Joseph and bring out all his manly instincts to help and protect her in the difficult days ahead. And so Messiah was born. Thank you for listening.